Good morning, everyone.
Morning, James.
So, let's exhort. It's the third one in a row where my parents have been away. So, as the saying goes, while the cat's away, the mice will play. But really, so when it comes to our meetings together on Sunday, we often have vastly different takeaway points. So sometimes we'll learn something new and amazing in the exhort. Sometimes it might be the discussion that we have over lunch or after the meeting that really helps us. Sometimes it might just be a bit of encouragement, and sometimes we just refresh things that we already know. So today I want to chase that last idea of just refreshing things. And we're going to take an on-the-surface look at a really encouraging topic, and that is the message of eternal life and how important it is to the life of a believer, which we'll look at as we see a few examples in Scripture. So before we jump into this, I just want to share my thought process on how I came up with this topic. So my original topic was not eternal life initially, but we had a visiting brother offer to exhort on the last occasion I was down. And that's awesome. So I swapped to a new date to fill a gap. And the same thing happened again. So today our brother's kindly sat back and I can share some words with you this morning. So now I don't mind in the least if someone does want to fill in. But especially on this occasion, because it gave me a little bit of time to chew over a few extra thoughts and put this exhort together for you. To share. So this idea, it started in the middle of June while we were doing the daily readings. We read from 2 Peter, followed a couple of days later by 1 John, and it really just helped these ideas fall into place. So if you want to turn up 2 Peter 1, we'll start there in a moment. And you know, normally doing the daily readings, we have a bit of discussion. But while we were doing these daily readings, I didn't say anything. I just sort of was silently making some notes to hopefully share with you and with my parents next time I exhorted. But typically, as things turn out, parents aren't here, so I'll have to fill them in later or share it with them next year in the daily readings. So 2 Peter 1, Peter starts his letter with words of praise to God and our Lord Jesus, and he quickly moves on to a bit of encouragement. And on to some tips for believers. So let's read from 2 Peter 1, and we're going to come in at verse 3. And that goes, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So the key I want to take out here is the precious promises that Peter talks about in verse 4. And as a sideline, not only that, but the whole section at the start of Peter's letter and further down in the chapter, it's pure gold, isn't it? Because Peter, he doesn't just mention the promises. He goes on in verse 5 to tell us of a process of traits that we can follow to help us focus on these promises and to achieve them. So we're not really going to look into it today, but as a side note, starting with faith, the most basic need for us as believers, Peter instructs us to supplement, or as another version puts it, to fill your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, and so on through the steps, gradually, they progressively get harder, until our last step, which is love. So back to my topic at hand. Let's continue down the chapter to verse 11, where Peter continues, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." So, with these thoughts from Peter in mind, let's refresh ourselves on the question of how do we obtain eternal life? Now, we already know this answer, don't we? But it's encouraging to refresh ourselves. So let's take a look at the words in 1 John 5. And that talks about the testimony of God concerning his Son. So, 1 John 5, and reading from verse 9 through to 15. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this next verse is key. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So, how do we obtain eternal life? Well, verse 11 and verse 13, I think they tell us quite clearly that we have eternal life already, and the condition for that is believing in the testimony of God, which is Christ. So, if we have eternal life already, what's the catch? What's the caveat? Surely it's not as simple as that. Oh yes, we know, don't we? Obviously, eternal life is not given to us right now. We still grow old and we still perish. However, provided we continue in Christ, it's a guaranteed gift from our God, given through his Son, isn't it? So the catch is that we need to continue in Christ. So in Mark 10, Christ himself tells us of the account of, well, a man comes to Jesus and he asks him, how do I gain eternal life? And Jesus responds with a series of commands that we all know. But there was more to the story, wasn't there? Because the man, he goes away sad, because Jesus instructed him to part with his worldly treasures. And in following on from this interaction, Jesus' disciples, they ask him a question. So we don't need to look it up, but that's in verse 26 of Mark 10. And the disciples ask, then who can be saved? And this is in response to that interaction with the man. And this is an extremely valid question, isn't it? Because we know that, our God is gracious. Because Christ responded by saying to his disciples, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And this was in direct response to that question of eternal life. So, if we believe in Christ and we try our best to follow him, then we have eternal life. But we all struggle with different issues and we all sin. So I suppose an even bigger question might be, how do we keep eternal life? How do we keep up our service to our Master? And what happens when we fail? Well, we've been looking at this in our Sunday afternoon seminars recently. So our brother Mark's been taking us through what he's called the key steps of discipleship. And that they can be found on so many different occasions throughout the Bible. So in the most recent example, we looked at, it was actually from the first chapter in the Gospel of John. And we're not going to recover the same ground again today. But a summary of the steps are as follows. Firstly, we're charged to believe. And we do, don't we? That's why we've been baptized and why we're here this morning. The next step we are charged with is having a desire to serve. Because believing is not enough, is it? Next, we're commanded to deny self. And that's a very hard thing to do. But it's a natural process that leads on from having a desire to serve. So in denying self, it then allows us to take the next step to daily commit our service to our Lord. And the last step is to follow. to follow the example of our Lord with all of our hearts, just like Jesus commanded in Mark 10. So these five steps: believe, desire, deny, commit, and follow. We have been baptized and we believe. This is not something that can be taken away from us by anyone else. It's the next four steps that we constantly work on throughout our lives. And sometimes we regress, and sometimes we hit low points. But with your encouragement found in the Word of God, and support from our brothers and sisters, and friends and family, we work hard to bounce back, don't we? And we can renew our faith and strive to desire to serve our Lord. And once our desire is strong, we work on the next step, to deny ourselves. Then, when we're not tied up with self, and it's a hard thing to do, but we can then focus on our commitment. And naturally, our commitment leads us to follow our Lord with all of our heart. So, in the low times, it's tough. But thanks to the wonderful plan and purpose set out by our God, we know that even though we go in these cycles and we slip, but by the grace of God, we have eternal life in Christ. So, the disciples in Jesus' time, they were very focused on this idea of eternal life. So much that many of the letters mentioned eternal life in the opening statements. So, we've already looked at the example in chapter 5 of John's letter. But now let's consider the passionate words given at the start of the letters written by John, by Jude, and also by Paul in his letter to Timothy and to Titus. So we're going to start in 1 John. So these passages are where the really encouraging message of eternal life comes from. So feel free to turn it up. But I encourage you to just listen and consider the words of the disciples who witnessed the life of Jesus and who firsthand knew the importance of eternal life. So, 1 John 1, and starting in the very first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. This opening statement from John, it's all about the word of life. Eternal life that John wanted to proclaim to everyone who read his letter, both to the disciples then and to following generations, including all of us. So let's read from the first chapter of Jude. Well, the only chapter of Jude. It starts with greetings that Jude states, and Jude states his intentions. And it, right at the start, I believe this is verse 3. So, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So, as we can see here, Jude, he really wants to talk about salvation, but he's bogged down by the need to issue a warning to the letter's recipients. But immediately after Jude's issued a series of warnings and whatnot, he follows up with his initial thought. So in Jude verse 20, he tells us, so again, he said, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, and then again, coming down to verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So even though Jude had to address the problems at hand, he comes back to the point of eternal life in Christ. Let's take a look at another example from Paul's first letter to Timothy, again in his opening statements in chapter 1. So Paul starts the letter by saying, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And like Jude, Paul issues several warnings and immediately talks about the grace of God in verse 14. The grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience and as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's message, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? The grace of the Lord overflowed in Paul so that the perfect patience of Jesus Christ might be displayed as an example for us who believe in Christ for eternal life. So the last letter then that we're going to have a look at is the letter to Titus. And we're going to read in the opening verse, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Saviour. Paul makes eternal life the key point of his introduction. So if we squash it down and we condense it, his opening statement is this: I, Paul, am an apostle of Jesus Christ, in hope of eternal life, which I have been tasked to preach by God and our Saviour. So this is almost a mirror of the thoughts given by John, isn't it? To proclaim the word of life, which is eternal life, and that is shown through the life of Christ. So in each of these letters, we can see just how much importance the disciples placed on eternal life, which is granted through our Lord Jesus. And we know that everything is made possible by the precious promises given to us by the grace of our God. So we may not know much about what eternal life holds in store. We may not be able to fully understand it, but we do know that it is the righteous plan of God and that we will be a part of it. So my parting thoughts for today is from our daily reading in Romans 2, in verses 6 and 7. And that reads, He will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality. He will give eternal life. And just further through Romans, in Romans 6, verses 22 and 23. And that reads, But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, when we pray this week, and also as we remember Christ in the emblem shortly, let's consider his love, and let us thank our God so much for his precious promise of eternal life in Christ. And let us ask that his kingdom come, and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you.